I want to share with you guys stories of how each of the different segments of the seminar was used in conversations that I had this past semester and previously. The first being the three essential skills. How do you use listening, questions, and common ground in a conversation? And this is one of my favorite stories. I was at Oklahoma State University back in February, and I was with Becca, one of our mentors, and my friend Grace, who was an intern with me back in the fall and accepted a full-time position with Justice for All this past semester. We had a poll where the question was, should abortion remain legal? Anybody could come up and sign yes or no on either side. So I was standing off to the side, inviting people to come up and sign the poll. And this one young lady walked by, and I just smiled and waved, and she kept walking. And then she walked back, and she said, do you want something? Is there a reason why you smiled at me? Which will tell you the state of college campuses these days. Nobody smiles at anybody. And I said, yeah, would you like to sign the poll? So she did, and when she finished, she stuck around to talk with me a little more. I found out that her name was Kira, and she explained to me her position on abortion, which is it should be legal and available for anybody who is having such a hard time in their pregnancy for whatever reason that they feel like abortion is the only way out of that trial, of that difficulty. What she presented to me was a very sympathetic stance on something that would be very understandable if the unborn was not a human being. So for the time being, we left that and I focused on three essential skills. How do I show this person that I care about her despite our differences? I asked her a lot of questions to be able to understand more of what she thought the unborn actually was. She told me that her biology professor told her that it is technically, you can technically go in there from the very beginning and find human DNA, but it's not a human yet. Biologically, from her professor. So immediately we were in a place where it was going to be very difficult to try and understand how to talk to her about that subject. She asked me, what do you think about abortion now that I've told you what I think about it? And I said, this is what I know about what it means to be pro-life. You're pro-choice, I'm pro-life. But for me, being pro-life does not only mean that I care about the unborn. It means that I care about all human life through every stage of development. And even if you think that the unborn becomes human at, say, week 3, the fact that it is in that development stage somewhere, I have to care about that just as much as I care about every student on this campus and you. And people who are much, much older and farther along in that spectrum, and all of the differences that we have between each other, what matters is that we're human, and that's what it means for me to be pro-life, that I care about all human life. And this girl who had been a little bit nervous at the beginning of the conversation, wasn't sure how it was gonna go, I could feel a lot of tension in the conversation, and she lightened up throughout until this point where she said, can I just stop you and say that that is the most sensible pro-life position I've ever heard? She shared with me that every other time she's had this conversation with somebody, they have screamed at her and condemned her to hell for her beliefs without ever trying to understand why she believed what she did. And I was extraordinarily blessed to be the first person who disagreed with her to bring down those walls and those barriers and show her that I'm a person in the same way that I think she's a person. It was beautiful to see. We parted on really good terms. I miss Kira. that's my three essential skills conversation. Let me have a second. Going into the next part of the seminar for keeping the conversation on track and then where that leads with biology. I've got a very short story from Colorado State University back in April. I was standing around. We have this exhibit that has little pictures of developmental stages all the way from the one cell at conception to old age. And the question is, when are we human? It's just to open up conversation with people. And this one gal walked up to me. Her name was Melina. She thought that the unborn was the same as lizards and squirrels and elephants, because when you look at the picture of, say, a six-week embryo, a human embryo, it looks the same as squirrels and lizards and elephants at their respective stages of development. And she said, there's no difference at all, because you can't see a difference. And all I said was, I pointed to a picture of the six-week embryo. I said, is that a lizard? And she said, oh no, of course not. And she got it. And it was amazing to see her face change, where she was just like so incredulous, and then she got stuck. And she was amazed, and she stared at that thing like, wow, that it's not a lizard, which sounds so silly to say, but this is what people think. And Justice for All is very good at teaching much more educated ways of showing people that the unborn is actually a human being, not just saying, is that a lizard? But that was one of my favorite experiences, just watching that click in her brain where it had never clicked before. Nobody had ever challenged that in her life before. From that point in the summer, we go into how to defend the personhood, the value, the worth of something that right now has no worth unless you give it a subjective worth. If you want your baby, you wouldn't ever think of having an abortion. But if you don't, then nobody sees a problem with it. You know, I had a very interesting time. It was later that same day at Colorado State, on the other side of the exhibit. it was late in the day, and I heard yelling from somewhere over here. And this young man walks over to my side of the exhibit, and he's just sauntering. He's loud. He knows what he's talking about, apparently. And he says to me, like, "What is this thing?" Pointing to the exhibit. I was like, well, it's supposed to show, you know, developmental stages of the unborn, ask the question, what is the unborn, when are we human? And he said, like, what do you think about all this? I was like, I'm actually part of the organization that brought this here. And he said, why would you be pro-life? What kind of person is pro-life? It's so silly. Have you even ever heard an argument that isn't religious? And fortunately, Justice for All has an argument for being pro-life that is not specific to any particular religion. It's based on equal rights. The questions that we ask people to go into this, and I said, yes, let me share this with you. I said, look around. And he did. He was like, what am I looking for? Look around at all the people on campus. Do you think that we all deserve to be treated equally? And he said, yes. I said, me too. Good. Doesn't that mean that there's something the same about us that demands that we be treated equally? And he said, yes, of course. I said, what do you think that is? He said, it's that we're all human. That's the only thing that we have in common. I said, yes, exactly. So if the unborn is human in the same way that you and I are human, then shouldn't that mean that we give them at least the basic right to life? And he said, yes, that makes sense. He kind of slowed down. He asked me a couple more questions. And I explained to him the state of abortion in our country today. 3,000 around 3,000 people being killed every single day. Doesn't that seem like a human rights problem? And he got really quiet. And he said, I know someone who had an abortion. She got knocked up by a douchebag at a party, and that baby would have screwed her over if she kept it. Because she got rid of it, she went to college, she got a career, she's doing fine. She needed to have that abortion. And there was nothing I could say, except I'm so sorry to hear about your friend. How is she doing? And he thanked me for the conversation, and he walked away. There's something else that Justice for All teaches in our seminar, and that is that there are three people to keep in mind in every conversation that you have. The first is the unborn. We are defenders of lives that have no real voice standing up for them right now. That is what we think about in every conversation. The second is the person standing in front of us, a real person who is just as valuable as the value that we place on the unborn. And the third is a person who has an experience with abortion. In this conversation, I got so excited about this argument that is universal, right? It's perfect. It's flawless. I got so excited. I matched his energy. And I didn't realize that what I was telling him by explaining the nature of the unborn, I was telling him that his friend had been party to a murder. And I wasn't paying attention to what I was telling this person. I forgot the third person in this conversation. And he reminded me. And I thank God for that moment of humility to remember that everyone has a story. And God gave me an opportunity back in the University of New Mexico to remember the third person. I was standing off to the side. It was the middle of the day. We had the same exhibit with us. It's an A-frame kiosk. And one of our mentors was, I noticed that he was talking to two young women. And I usually stand close by to conversations like that to let the man know that I'm available to help if there's a relational need, to let the girls know that I'm a female who can interject at any point, you know. So I stood close by to Jeremy, and one of the two girls, noticing me, stepped off from her conversation with Jeremy and started talking with me. And she went from being very, very, very agitated at the concept of the exhibit to breaking down in tears right in front of me because she herself had had an abortion. She said it was in order to save her life. And I don't know what that means for her, but I didn't have to in that moment. There was nothing else that God needed me to do in that moment than to just cry with this poor, broken college student. The effect of the exhibit can sometimes be very difficult on people, depending on where they're coming from. And God uses each one of us volunteers and the staff members to bridge the gap with people, to be there for whatever need they have, whether it is helping them to come to terms with something in their past, to help them deal with what abortion means in the life of every person, and the intellectual end of the spectrum, helping people to understand why abortion should not be legal in this country, why it needs to stop. Both of these, Justice for All is very good at inserting into every conversation together. That's why I had to go back for a second internship, because I've never found anything like Justice for All that can hold both truth and love in both hands for all people. It's been an amazing experience for me being part of this organization. I am sad to have left, but I have to now go back to college I'm going to finish my degree at George Mason, which, by the way, is cybersecurity engineering. That usually really confuses people. Like, who is this girl? Yeah, I probably have at least 3 years left. But that's my next place that God has me going. And if He wills it, and I'm very excited if this is going to work out, I'm going to form a pro-life club on George Mason's campus. Right now they don't have one. And my goal is to teach people what I have learned from Justice for All, how to have a conversation about abortion that is respectful and educated, careful, loving, and can also share the gospel with any person. I am going to meet as many people as I can, draw them with me, teach them what I've learned, and we're going to go have conversations on campus as often as conceivably possible. Pray about that, please. I am so excited for what God could do at George Mason through a pro-life club starting in the fall. I'm really, really, really excited about that.